You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. You know, we're all about entrepreneurism on this show. I'm a serial entrepreneur myself, a startup junkie, a turnaround specialist in a past life. And anytime I can get anyone on here who can bring you and help you realize the skill sets you need to succeed at being an entrepreneur, I feel like I'm really doing you a service. And right now with me is Aaron Baer. And Aaron, you've got a kind of storied career here. Entrepreneur strategist, best-selling WSJ author of Exponential Theory, which I'm really looking forward to exploring further with you. I mean, hey, you're the entrepreneur in residence at Arizona State University, Singularity University at NASA, which scares the heck out of me, even taught at Stanford Design School. I mean, I could go on and on with your bio, but we're not here to talk about your bio. We're here to talk about how you have succeeded as an entrepreneur, how you've scaled up and made multi-billion dollar corporations, and how you got out of it alive. So it's great to have you on. Hey, first, tell us what your website is, Aaron.
Yeah, you can learn more about me at aaronbaer.com, AaronBaer.com.
All right, great.
It'll be here, Carrie.
Hey, as always, if you got a question for Aaron or myself, you can shoot us an email, kl@carrielutz.com. So first, how'd you become an entrepreneur? Because really, I think we're down to about maybe 20% of the population out there is somewhat entrepreneurial. It's kind of a unique skill set. How did you wind up following this path?
Well, I give credit to my parents. I did grow up in a household that when I was 12, my dad left his company and cashed out his 401k and everything and started a Subway sandwich franchise. And that was before Subway got really big. So that was my first job when I was 12. I was a sandwich artist and learning entrepreneurship at the same time. So from there, I kind of caught the bug of my dad had a lot of freedom to do what he wanted when he wanted and was always there for me as a kid. I played a lot of soccer and, you know, he kind of worked his schedule around. I was like, you know, I want to grow up and be like my dad. So here I am, doing a few more entrepreneurial ventures than he did because he allowed me to get started when I was 12 when he started when he was probably well into his 40s. So,
wow, so he got bitten by the entrepreneurial bug in his 40s. Got tired of the corporate rat race and ventured out on a Subway franchise. You look like you're pretty in shape. So obviously you got your fill of Subway at an early age here.
Well, as in life, everything is a constant reminder that you got to keep things in balance. So I won't say I've always been in shape throughout my adult life, but I have laid off the Subway sandwiches for a long time. So.
All right. Well, I love the Subway tuna sandwich, but I can't eat the bread anymore. Low carb all the way for me. But getting on to more serious matters. So you sold 12 companies. You built 3 nonprofits, built 3 accelerators, billions of dollars in results. If you could briefly sum up your secret to success, besides hard work, that's understood. Too many of you out there are working way too hard and not getting results. Hard work isn't enough, is it?
No, I'm not a big believer. I think everyone says hard work is the way to grind it out and get there. I think you have to have intentional work. And I have a program called Exponential Mindset, Belief, and Attitude that really is the practice of exponential theory, which exponential theory is a theory about thinking big. And part of that is, you know, to find a passion purpose that, you know, regardless if you got paid or not, that you could do. And I can even say, you know, the mother of my children, her name's Jennifer Baer, and she built several million people in an audience in social media, largely by following her passion. She just, you know, wanted to do crockpot recipes and bring them to home to family. And we had crockpot recipes all the time. And she ended up growing millions of people following her. 9 million people a week went to her website, all because she was persistent and diligent and really followed this strategy of thinking bigger and bigger about how, you know, what are the channels she could partner with? What are the relationships she could have? And we ultimately became the, she became the ambassador and face of Crock-Pot, the brand, which ultimately got her to, at one time, being ranked number 7 in the world in chefs and social media. And I think that it all comes back to not that she had any special skill, it's that she followed her passion. And then I think there's another part of that is a lot of people are resistant to money. And I know your show is called The Financial Survival Network. You know, part of my book in Exponential Theory is I talk about thrivability, which is on the other end of survivability. And the idea is, you know, a lot of people are afraid of money because they've been taught all these, it's the root of all evil. It's, you know, money, you know, what you resist, all these different things that become belief systems that in the end, you know, money is just a tool. It should not be the end game. It should not be the goal. I've created more results when not focused on the money, just focused on making an impact. And I think that is where, when you follow your passion or purpose, and what I've seen with all these different people that I interview in Exponential Theory, which include Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and different people that have really been exponential, they started with an idea and they just stayed. They had a long-term vision for that. I think Bill Gates, I put a quote in the book that far too many people in 1 year, they overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but they underestimate what they could do in 10 years. I think that longer term vision on your purpose or your passion will help people actually be a lot more successful. Is that not thinking about the economic downturn today, knowing that the economy is going to swing up and down as your chart in the background on your graphic shows. It's the fact that you got to weather the storm to really find the exponential curve to where things start to take off. And I've helped a lot of companies work through that persistent determination to do that. But it is comfortability with money, really having a long-term vision of your passion, building to understand what your value is, what you're bringing to the market, and really just continually working towards that and iterating and learning. Learning and growing is the key to everything.
So I take it you spent some time in California. The state is not in the best of shape right now. And yet entrepreneurs continue to start there, although there is definitely a move out of California. If someone's in California, do you tell them to leave and go to Texas or Florida or some other more favorable state? Or how do you advise somebody on that? Because look, we got external issues wherever you're going to be. The soil for starting a new business can be very rocky and inhospitable. And yet, when a state kind of goes out of its way to make your life difficult, is it time to leave that? And this is just an aside, I realize, not within the confines of what we're talking about here.
No, it's a good point. I think any entrepreneur has got to create the environment that's going to make them most successful. So it's not to say that there's some entrepreneurs that really need the best of the best programmers and they need to catch, you know, this latest tech layoff has put a lot of really talented people on the street. So there's going to be an exponential number of startups that come out of this last little downturn in the tech layoffs because, one, all those people can find other jobs fairly quickly. Yet they also realize that with the exit packages, they could actually go for their passion or purpose, start something, build something. What we've seen, though, I'm from Arizona. So Arizona is another big benefiter of the exodus from California. We've gotten a lot of companies as they have got beyond their kind of core team, move to Arizona and kind of grow here just because it honestly costs a half to a third the cost. So if you got to raise 3 times the money to kind of make it in California, yeah. I mean, there's cost of living adjustments and different things, but it's the same idea of starting a business in New York City. I think the overall opportunity is to find a place that, one, you can find the talent for what you're wanting to accomplish and then surround yourself with the environment. But also raising money isn't as confined as it used to be. I mean, I've raised well over $100 million for startups that I've been involved in. And I used to go down Sand Hill Road in Silicon Valley. I spent a lot of time there. And they used to have this story about the bicycle, and they say, well, Aaron, you're in Arizona, and I only invest in things that I can ride my bike to. So the idea is that, you know, if it's 116 and things are going to go to hell, which they are going to go to hell in every startup, you know, you're going to reach a point of breakage or some point of, you know, no return that you got to really push through. Those venture capitalists were more inclined to say, I'm not going to fly down to Arizona in the middle of the heat to do that. I'm going to invest in something in my backyard. That no longer is the truth. I think we've seen a diversification across the world. And that's part of my own exponential theory writes about that. I have a whole chapter on accelerators and how the world is accelerating using the model of Silicon Valley, but more in a more efficient way because they're using their local ecosystems. You know, the younger skilled workers are obviously coming in and willing to take more risk than some others. But we're also seeing a new generation of people that are more about purpose and passion than they are about money, because they've seen their parents and grandparents really focus just on, you know, a nest egg and retirement, where we're seeing a lot of other people kind of fall on their passion. And there's a lot more opportunities to do a lot of different things now at a younger age and, you know, be a little entrepreneurial without obviously taking the plunge to do a startup itself.
All right, so going back to like Elon Musk, and he did succeed in California, and now he's a global brand, obviously. He mentioned a number of times company was about to go bankrupt and financing materialized at the last moment. And when he talked about the Model 3, he called it production hell. While his obstacles, his hurdles were much higher than most, that's what you encounter in building any business, don't you?
Yeah, I think there's critical moments in the book. I cover quite a few of these. Elon Musk in particular, like you said, a story that most people don't know is Mercedes-Benz Daimler actually came in with $100 million at a critical point early in the 2000, I'm going to say 8 or 9 area, yeah, where Tesla was about to go under. And they made an investment. They ended up selling a few years later for probably an 8x or 10x gain. But what's interesting, that one stake that they had would actually be worth more than the market capitalization of the whole company at this point. So not thinking long-term about what Tesla was, they did believe in it enough. They just didn't have a longer-term enough vision. The same with Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, about in 1999, Excite came to them, was going to buy their search browser for $1 million. And they were really considering it because they're like, you know, this isn't going to allow us to think big enough. So let's, you know, which Google's enabled them to probably think bigger than any other company. But they were considering selling it at that early stage and kind of overcame that and kind of found this Larry Page found this page algorithm that ultimately started serving up very relevant ads and kind of disrupted the search engine space. That's where the longer term vision, all these companies have been tested. Even, you know, as you mentioned in 2018, you know, there was a period where Tesla, before its really, you know, steep incline, you know, really didn't know if it was going to make it or not. And I think this was, you know, where there's rumors that Elon Musk was talking to Tim Cook at Apple and different people to figure out who could be a buyer or someone that could hold that over. Within a few months later, then the company was worth hundreds of billions of dollars and kind of on its route. So, you know, it doesn't matter what stage companies are today, they are able to be disrupted. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more of, as, you know, we see the banks and the banking industry, as well as just about every industry has been disrupted because of emerging technologies. I think the important part is to have a longer term vision, to understand how you can see that long term and get everybody focused on a longer term vision, and then figure out how you can fill in and make sure that you're, you know, growing at a rate that you're not going to obviously bankrupt yourself along the way. It's a complex, I have a thing about called VUCA in the book that is about vulnerable, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And there's a model that I use that's turned that into vision, understanding, clarity, and agility. And it really creates, you know, an ability to kind of weather through some of these storms, which the external environment, whether it's, you know, a government, taxation, all these different things that you mentioned, they're all variables. You know, there's pros and cons of, you know, every decision. And I think part of what I've also created in the book is something called the Rhodium Rule, which is to think about the entire ecosystem. So I'm sure you've heard of the golden rules. Think about how you want to be treated. treat others that way. And then there's a platinum rule, which is think about how they want to be treated. I came up with this rule, the rhodium rule, that really is think about the entire ecosystem, which is what we need to do in politics as well as in CEOs, is think about all the unintended consequences of making the decisions we make and thinking through those, because you know, frivolous decisions, as we see, have backfired on just about every leader in the world by not really thinking through those, just making them.
Yeah. The law of unintended consequences is alive and well. I think its leading temple is in the capitals of the world, especially Washington, D.C., but in the boardrooms of American corporations as well. You know, it's interesting going back to Tesla. So Mercedes invested in them. Now Tesla's worth way more than the market cap of Mercedes. They're going to sell as many cars as Mercedes. And arguably, Tesla has disrupted the entire auto industry with this push to electrification. I'm not going to debate the merits of that. I think governments pushing a particular energy transition, it hasn't worked in the past. We'll see if it works now, but the market is heading there. I think there's no question about it. Just that interesting that they planted the seeds of their own, demise.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Gold-Terra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Gold-Terra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project, with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Gold-Terra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Gold-Terra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Well, I think, in the book, I cover a lot of those. Kodak's, Kodak owned the patent for the digital camera, and the digital camera killed Kodak. So There's quite a few stories of companies and people in the boardroom that made decisions based on the short term, not thinking long term where things were going to develop. And I think that's the key, that when I go into a boardroom in a Global 100, in a company like Daimler, Mercedes-Benz, or Coca-Cola, or one of these companies, one of the things is to think a little bit longer term, because everyone is focused on this month, this quarter, this week. And I think, Jeff Bezos, the chapter I read about Amazon in the book, really covers that Bezos was able to train the analyst to really think more longer term about Amazon, where they had, 19 years of negative quarters, that he was able to kind of get the analyst still to have buy decisions on his stock because they knew how disruptive it would be. And that did pay off, obviously, where Amazon's, became one of the trillion dollar companies, as many of the companies before I wrote the book, or while I was writing the book, I covered these companies. And then really while I got published, all these companies hit this trillion-dollar mark, which was quite amazing, because of their exponential thinking.
Hey, and we should mention the book is Exponential Theory, The Power of Thinking Big. It's on Amazon and wherever fine books used to be sold. And it's also on audiobook. Very cool. And it's on audiobook as well, which I'm a big fan of. I've read hundreds of audiobooks. Read isn't exactly the right.
Listen.
I've absorbed.
Acquire the knowledge of.
Definitely. It's not as good as reading, but time-wise, it's much better. But I think, so many people I know, and this is personal, they always say your income is the average of your five closest friends. And there's a lot of truth to that. Your level of happiness is probably similar to that of your five closest friends. And the idea, I've always been in smaller business, many people don't think big. They just can't do it. You just find it difficult because you're in your small little world, and to actually think outside of your existence and what you've achieved to this point is is a challenge. Do you find things like meditation, affirmations? Do you use anything like that?
Yeah, I think it goes to everyone's on a personal journey, but I think the key point that you said, Carrie, was that you're your five closest friends. So the attitudes and behaviors, mindsets that they have really become how you think about the world. And that's where, you know, candidly, we're getting lazier and lazier in thought. We're the extremes on politically on either side or whatever, disparaging because, you know, we're seeing those five people become more and more extreme, whatever they think. And that goes to negativity about their own financial situation or positivity. So it's figuring out and being very intentional with the people that you spend time with, because they do become you, and they become what you eat, what you know, all your different habits, if, you know, drinking or drugs or any of these different things. If you look around your five closest friends or your kids' five closest friends, it's what I always say to other parents, is that you could probably realize what the habits that they will have because of those relationships. I think we're, you know, it is probably the biggest telltale sign of where someone's going to be, of who the people are they're hanging around with. And there's anomalies. There's different people that hang out. You know, I've always been someone that's been friends with a lot of different people, but my five closest friends are all people that help me think bigger, and I help them think bigger. And honestly, at this stage in life, you're going to also go through life and you shouldn't change friends, because you're going to morph and change. And it's, I think, part of a natural progression is like what you're interested in. And if you're willing to think bigger, you're most likely going to have to break some of those relationships, unless your five closest friends are all willing to kind of think bigger with you, which is often most people are caught in their crap and, you know, not willing to let go of things they need to.
Hey, so I guess this touches upon the concept of the mastermind group, which is a big thing by Napoleon Hill, because you get ideas. So if you're with dynamic people and you're with people who are focused on growth, then you will be too. Do you have your mastermind group?
Yeah, so we have a group called the XMBA. It's xmba.io, and it's an annual membership. It's a learning community that we have a core curriculum that's based on the seven universal truths that after I wrote this book at 1,200 pages, and I figured out seven things that all exponential people do, and they're just truths. They're really simple things like we are habits, attitude is everything, what we resist persists, the goal is not the end, to think is to create. We are, you know, be in the moment, and we are all one, or we are all, and energy is, everyone is energy and energy is everything. So these truths kind of permeate through this kind of curriculum, and what they do is a self-perspective look at yourself, and then in the mastermind, it creates a common language to help each other learn or grow. And that's all we focus on, is learner growth in that community. And you know, we're growing like crazy, because I think a lot of people want to not be in survivability, want to be in thrivability. And thrivability is be intentional about the five people or the 15. It's called the Dunbar rule, you know, Dunbar group. So as you kind of grow that and be intentional about the people that you're spending time with, what we're seeing is, you know, we're putting very impactful entrepreneurs with other people that want to start. We're seeing major jumps in people as they get into our kind of masterminds, because they start behaviorally modeling themselves after people that are successful in the group, and they have mentors and buddies, and we've created a really good structure. As I traveled the world doing these facilitations, I really also took every online course and every course in leadership development and really said, here's the best practices. So we've created this learning community, and our goal really is to create 1 million exponential leaders. So we're about 10,000 people in, and we're growing that. Really small fee to join, really something that we're excited about growing and really impacting everyone that wants to grow and have a community that they feel like is their home. And every Tuesday night, we have a open conversation. Otherwise, you know, mentors and buddies and meetups and things are going on all the time within our community.
All right. So just give us the website again for that.
It's xmba.io. So exponential mindset, belief, and attitude. And then you come in with whatever, and you come out with an exponential mindset, belief, and attitude. So xmba.io.
Yeah. So what the world needs now is more exponential thinking, huh?
I think that we have a lot of problems. We can always focus on the problems. What we need people is to solve them, think bigger about those. A lot of the small problems go away. You know, it takes about the same amount of energy it is to solve a small problem as it does a big problem. It's just a matter of actually putting your energy into that big problem. And then obviously you attract other big thinkers when you do that. And that's really the key to the XMBA's success, as well as to the success of everybody in that program, is you're around people that want to think bigger. So it's challenging each other to think bigger about the problems you're solving, challenging each other to make more money, to make a bigger impact, to follow your hobby or your passion or your pursuit. All those things are conversations that we're having every day there. And, you know, part of it is, you know, built out of the book Exponential Theory, which will give you a taste of that, is kind of modeled after all the people that have, you know, really exponentially created different things in the world and really changed our world. You know, our world has completely changed because of these few different people. But then I actually have a community that people can practice on themselves, creating the beliefs. And part of that is unlearning and reprogramming your mind, because we grow up and learn so much. We need to really think about what serves us well and what doesn't serve us well. And then it's all about, you know, really growing from there. So it's a really cool community where in the end, everybody focuses on their passion and purpose and shares it with everyone else. They have a mastermind to help each other. We have this unconditional giving day where one member in the group will focus on them, and then everyone will actually contribute to that person. We rotate through people in the cohorts, and then you just see massive growth. So it's really is about helping people really funnel their energy into passion and purpose. And, you know, part of our belief system is everything is energy and energy is everything. And if you think of any startup or any successful thing, it's because the energy grew in it, because one, the message was viral or, you know, had contagion, and, you know, all of a sudden people started believing in it and they had a mindset that it would help grow people. And it's like ChatGPT being one of the fastest growing technologies. The people that use it and leverage it, you know, talk about it more than they need to talk about it. But, you know, it is just another tool, and that's where the XMBA is a tool. There's a lot of tools in the toolbox for people to be successful. And at no other time in history has the toolbox been more equally available to every man, woman, and child on this earth, you know. And that's sure. The unique part is we're seeing people disrupt things, not from the point of expertise, but from the point of just someone new wanting to solve a big problem and thinking bigger about it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Interesting. You know, in the field of computers now, you know what the most sought after position is, both by employers and employees?
Is it prompt engineer?
Prompt engineer. Like, who would ever believe there would be such a thing as a prompt engineer? Well, Aaron, really appreciate your taking time out and coming on the show. I think a lot of you out there can really profit from the things that Aaron's been discussing. Mindset is everything, and that's what you always got to realize. Again, the book, Exponential Theory, The Power of Thinking Big, and Amazon and all other places. And you can get it on the Kindle and the audiobook, my personal favorite. Again, if you have a question for Aaron, shoot me an email, al@carrylutz.com, and make sure go to the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. You'll see the show notes. You can click right to Aaron's site, aaronbear.com. Got that right. And Aaron, a pleasure. I hope we'll have you back again to talk more about what to me is really an incredibly interesting and exciting topic.
Yeah, Kerry, love to come back, talk about the financial mindset that we have within Exponential Mindset that probably would help a lot of people listening to your network.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.